Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, today we're going to talk about teenagers.
One of my favorite topics.
You have a lot of favorite topics.
I've noticed a lot of teenagers.
That's true. Man, you got a house full of them.
Got a house full of teenagers. Good my brother gracious. Came over last night just to laugh.
But he's not a teenager.
He's not. Oh, no. But he enjoys the teenagers in the kitchen when they start working on each other. So he was cracking up last night.
Yeah.
Well, my teenagers.
Well, we're going to talk today about an article that was published in the New York Times entitled, Teenagers Do Dumb Things, But There Are Ways to Limit Recklessness.
Oh.
This just came out within the past week or so. Yeah. But it's a great article that talks about how we, you know, ways that we can manage that adolescent spirit that oftentimes gets them into some trouble.
I love the picture.
Yes.
It came with this article.
Yeah.
And these two teenagers, and you're hoping, I hope one of those isn't my child.
That's right.
They're
kissing
really,
in the front
really
seat of a car.
Kissing in the front seat of the car.
Well, so. In this article, they highlight several research studies.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're talking about is the sort of natural phenomenon that we see
right.
with adolescents making risk-taking choices mm-hmm. And engaging in risk-taking behaviors, you know, presumably without the forethought of potential consequences or what could happen.
You know, and one of the things that parents, I always explain to parents when I do this talk on teenagers, is that teenagers are risk-takers because they have to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to be because when you go through puberty is all about reproduction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can dress it up however you want, but as a species, the reason you go through puberty is for reproductive purposes. And so, because you can't reproduce with your family members, you have to leave the home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Stop smiling.
What do you want? I was thinking.
You're not from.
It depends on.
You're from Florida.
From where you're from.
That's right. No. There's all those jokes about that.
That's right.
No, you can't because of consanguineous relationships.
That's a good word.
You can't reproduce with
mm-hmm.
family members.
Okay? Right.
So if you're, now that you're ready to reproduce, you have to leave your home. Well, who in his right mind is going to leave the comfort and security of home?
Right.
Only somebody who will take a risk.
Right.
So teenagers are biologically geared for risk taking.
Right.
Okay. The other thing is the emotional parts of the brain have already matured and
mm-hmm.
developed.
Right.
And the inhibitory mechanisms haven't.
Right.
Okay. So if it's a race between emotions and logic, emotions are going to win every time.
Every time.
So mm-hmm. biologically, teenagers are going to be risk takers.
Right.
What I like about this article is the second part, you can do something about it.
Right.
Okay. So that's what I found particularly interesting is that it says you can do, there's a lot that you can do about this.
Right. And I think that we should say, like, right up front, for those of you who, you know, were checking out the, who saw the title and, you know, you're thinking, all right, a quick fix.
No, we can, no.
It's not going to be a
quick
fix. Quick
fix, right.
It's a process, and it's something that is going to evolve over time.
Right.
So I'm gonna squash some hopes there.
Absolutely,
right away,
because the tumult of the teenage years goes on for years. I mean,
right.
we're talking about 4 or 5 years here,
right.
where parents have a lot of hard work to do.
Right.
This doesn't happen with a single punishment or by taking their cell phones.
Right.
This
Absolutely.
Is a long, arduous process that goes on for several years.
Right. So mm-hmm. some of the studies that they present in this article are pretty big studies. I mean,
right.
there's one in particular that had a study of more than 5,000 teenagers and young adults from 11 different countries.
And they're from around the world.
Around
that was
the
other
yeah.
thing that I liked, is that these studies were teenagers from various countries.
Right. And what they mm-hmm. found is that, as you were saying, adolescents from all over the world are these same risk-taking,
yeah.
engage in these similar risk-taking mm-hmm. behaviors and kind of push the limits quite a bit. So, it's not just a uniquely American or uniquely Western perspective. This is something from all over the world.
Right.
And so it is a common theme. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that it's important to note, because I'm sure that there may be parents listening that will say, well,
and they'll start identifying teenagers that they know who don't take risks.
That's
who,
right.
Who are very, right. you know, mm-hmm. stable and you know, think about the consequences and everything right. ahead of time. Yes, there are those, but those are the outliers. Those are not the typical, and right. not only are they not the typical, but they're also probably not universal, meaning that you see that teenager making mm-hmm. good choices and having forethought and considering consequences, but there are probably lots of times when they don't.
That's
you
right.
just don't see
and
those
you don't
times.
See it. Right. Or you're not aware of it.
Yes.
And maybe their own parents may not be aware of
right.
it.
Right, right.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly, through our work, mm-hmm. as well as with my coaching and things like that, I certainly work with a lot of adolescent boys who their family think one thing about them, and
right.
we know some other things about them. So
right.
it's just really a really interesting phenomenon.
Or we have teenage children who tell us about other teenage, and nobody knows. The kids know.
Right.
They all know.
Right.
And if your teenagers talk to you about this stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, you find,
yeah.
you learn things that yeah. nobody really knows about except
yeah.
the other kids.
Yeah.
So yeah, it may be that you just don't know that these other
right.
teens are engaging in risk-taking behavior.
Right. Mm-hmm. A particular line from this article that I think is really critical
yeah.
mm-hmm. to where we're going to, when we talk about what the strategy is,
yeah.
And that is the line that says, for teenagers to find trouble, temptation must meet opportunity.
Okay.
And so there has to be this balance between the opportunity
mm-hmm.
and the temptation to engage
right.
in that opportunity.
Right.
You know, I was talking with a parent once about, and they were talking about their adolescent son mm-hmm. engaging in some romantic interactions with a female classmate. And they were talking about, well, this just doesn't seem like him and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But as we were talking about the situation, it was exactly that. The temptation was there. And the opportunity was there,
right.
and it was just this perfect combination
mm-hmm.
of there's no one else around.
It's
quiet. It's mm-hmm. it's all these things. And so, when opportunity meets that temptation,
mm-hmm.
we're really in a challenging spot there for when it comes to teenagers making good decisions.
Mm-hmm. That's right, and that's why we parents always say nothing good happens after 12 or 1 o'clock at night.
Yes.
Because that increases the opportunity
that's
and
right.
the temptation.
That's right.
I mean, that's why we're vigilant about that sort
mm-hmm.
of thing. Or you
mm-hmm.
don't, you know, this is prom season,
mm-hmm.
okay? And proms typically now, especially in Florida, they take place in cities other than where you live.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example,
mm-hmm.
our children have proms in Orlando. They go over to Disney World
right.
and they have their proms there. And many of them stay overnight
right.
in hotels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What?
Opportunity knocks.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I mean, right? And so, you know, you're putting your children
right.
in a opportunity /
temptation mm-hmm.
Situation by letting them do that. And so
right.
many parents say, no, that's not a good idea.
Right.
We'll come and get you and we'll spend the night in Lakeland.
Right. So let's talk a little bit quickly about the strategy that's presented here.
Mm-hmm.
And the strategy is, on the surface, it's relatively
pretty
simple.
Good. Yeah.
It's
right.
pretty,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty matter of fact. It's pretty,
right.
Maybe even obvious.
Yeah, it's really sensible. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we don't usually do it.
Right.
And it's not that it works 100% of the time either.
Right.
But the strategy basically is you have to educate your child
right.
about potential risks.
Mm-hmm.
It mentions other articles or other research studies, rather, where they, you know, took the, and as you, you know,
mm-hmm.
you were talking about reproduction, where they took, you know, like education about reproduction education,
right.
sexual education in schools, and they took the standard curriculum, and then they took
mm-hmm.
this other curriculum where it was basically the standard curriculum, but they added some additional,
right.
you know, hypothetical situations and really
mm-hmm.
emphasize what could happen.
Right.
And what they found is that those students who were in that experimental group, the ones that got the extra education, were far less likely to engage in those behaviors than students who had not received that extra piece of the
and
education.
And what were they told? What was the extra piece?
They were talked about transmittable diseases,
that's right.
risk for pregnancy, and those kinds of things.
I mean, if you keep having sex over and over and over again, mm-hmm. you know, eventually you're going to get pregnant.
Right.
I mean, it stands to reason.
Right.
And eventually you're going to get it. I mean, yes, it only takes once, but it's this repeated activity mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. probably going to get you into trouble.
Right.
But kids need to know that.
Right.
I mean, kids really don't know how pregnancy occurs.
Right.
You know,
right.
they really, really don't, because they're not being taught anywhere. Schools aren't really
right.
teaching sex education,
no.
especially around here. And so it is the parents' obligation
mm-hmm.
to fully educate your kids. And I think this whole idea of repeated
right.
sexual activity is eventually going to lead to pregnancy.
Absolutely. So it's really important that we educate our children. And as another line in the mm-hmm. Article says, it can be helpful to talk them through a hypothetical dry run.
Absolutely.
So you say, this could happen.
Right.
How are you going to respond? This could happen. How are you going to respond?
And give your children scripts.
Mm-hmm.
Give them, you know, what are you going to do if? What will you do if? What will you do if this happens? What will you do if that happens? How will you handle this? Let them work through these scripts and give them lines to use.
Right. You know? Because as parents, we oftentimes want to avoid those kinds of conversations.
Yeah.
We want our kids to go, you know, our kid may want to go to a party.
Mm-hmm.
And in our mind, we're thinking, well, what if there's marijuana at that party?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want him to go. So no, you can't go.
Right.
Well, now you're restricting their opportunities and you're restricting their social engagements and some
right.
of the development that they mm-hmm. really need to do. So instead you say, okay, you can go to the party, but let's talk about what happens if somebody has marijuana there. Now your teenager
right.
is initially going to respond, Mom, there's
mm-hmm.
not going to be anybody with marijuana there. You say, humor me. You know,
right.
let's just walk through it. What are you going to do if there's alcohol
mm-hmm.
there? What are you going to do if there's marijuana there?
Right.
What are you going to do if people are going upstairs and going into the bedrooms?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do in those kinds of situations?
What will you do if somebody asks you
right.
to go into the bedroom?
Right.
What line? What will you say to that
mm-hmm.
person?
And what that does, it's sort of the same. As parents, we worry that introducing those or mentioning those ideas or
mm-hmm.
mentioning those possibilities is going to introduce the idea
right.
and then your child is going to be thinking, oh, well, you know, I need to do that.
Right.
But
no.
it's just like with suicide. You know, for so long we resisted the need
right.
to talk
need.
To teenagers about
right.
suicide because
mm-hmm.
we were thinking, well, if we ask them about
the
suicide, we'll
yeah.
plant the seed.
Right. No,
that's just as false.
You're not planting any seed. You
right.
can assume that marijuana and alcohol and other drugs are going to be at the party.
Right.
Let's begin with that assumption. You don't even have to have that conversation.
Right.
So how now do you equip your child
mm-hmm.
to manage the inevitable encounter,
right.
temptation, opportunity
right.
that they're going to have at the party?
Right.
Right. And it's our obligation as parents to prepare our children, to equip them
mm-hmm.
so that they can go to these things with some confidence
right.
that they'll be able to handle it.
Right, absolutely. And it's not going to plant the seed. It's not going to
no.
introduce the idea. The idea's already there.
Right. And the drugs are there. The sex is there.
Right.
Everything's already there.
Right.
But we have to equip our children, prepare them, teach them, train them
mm-hmm.
to handle these situations.
Right, absolutely. So that's the big strategy.
Right.
It's not earth-shattering. It's not
mm-hmm.
a magic pill. It's not anything like that. It's just a matter-of-fact, common-sense type of approach to, you know what, we can reduce the likelihood
mm-hmm.
of risk-taking behaviors if we talk about and provide realistic strategies
right.
and by going through these hypothetical runs
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that your child can use when in those kinds of
right.
situations.
And we talk in our book, we always talk about teach, don't punish.
Right.
You know, don't wait until your children make a mistake and then punish them. Rather, you have to teach them. And we're going to be talking more about this in our book, because when we get to those teenage years,
mm-hmm.
these are the kind of things, because this is a teaching philosophy.
Absolutely.
Teach your children how to handle these high-risk situations.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that in our book, too, so which will be coming out shortly.
Yeah.
That chapter.
Part two.
So, mm-hmm.
Yes. So, all right.
Tuned. Yeah. Great article.
It is. I'll have a link in the show notes.
If you have teenagers, this is a good one to read.
Absolutely.
Real good advice. You don't have to turn your life upside down or do anything terribly different.
Right.
But it's really, really good advice.
Yep. So. It sure is. So. All right. Well, that's it for today. So until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.